you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. Just make your way back to your seats for a moment. Instead of doing the announcements and the offering and all that, I'm going to preach right now, and then we're going to do that at the end. Amen? Because I really believe that God wants to speak to us in this place. So we're going to do things slightly different, slightly backwards. But that's all right. So I want to speak to you about what God's been showing me about dreams. About having dreams, about dreaming again. And there's some stuff that we need to see, man, because this is a very, very good church. Amen? Now, when I say that, I'm talking about you, so. But God wants us to dream bigger again. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27. I'm going to read this in two versions and then just tell you a little bit about what God's been showing me. It's Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. That's like sitting in that little box. You know what I mean? Like the people that, when the Titanic was sinking, they jumped on the boats and they shouldn't have been on the boats. They should have let the women and the children go first, but there was big men jumping on there because they wanted to save their lives. He said, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now that was in one version, but I want to take us into looking at it from a different angle. Because sometimes we hear the word, we receive the word, but sometimes we have a perspective of it, and we can get locked into one way of looking at stuff. But sometimes it's good to just step aside and look at it from another angle, and we even know what I'm talking about, right? So just from the message paraphrase, just to give us a little bit of an indication of just a different look at what this is talking about. Are you ready? Same scripture. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Straight away, that puts things in a different perspective, huh? Sometimes we think of Jesus sitting there, you know, nice and calm and talking about stuff to his people and they're all sitting around him, you know, at his feet, looking all holy. I think Jesus was someone that was actually real, and I believe that he actually did things in a real way. And I think that sometimes he was sitting there going, guys, what's happening? Listen to me, right? Listen to what I'm saying, man. Huh? He didn't sit there going, thou, O most holiest disciples. Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. I heard it said in the other day, we just had a regional conference Friday night, Saturday morning from our churches from all over our region. We had people from Germany, people from Holland, people from Scotland, people from Liverpool, people from Birmingham, people from London. We're all here gathered together. And if you missed out, man, there was an encounter with God. There was hundreds of people here and it was powerful. But someone made a statement. They said, how can you be a Christian without God? How can you walk this walk without praying? How can you do what you need to do without fasting? How can you be someone that doesn't read the word of God and then do what it says? Someone else said that we have footprints to follow, but you have to wear your own shoes. Another wise man said, I'll forget because it was me. I never said them other things. But powerful stuff. In fact, what I said was this. I said some Christians are educated beyond their level of obedience. We've got all the podcasts, all the books, we've read them all, we've done, but we don't put it into practice. You've got the scriptures that are living, the living word of God, but if you don't put it into practice, it's like having a gun filled with bullets, having a target, but never pulling the trigger. He said, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. Now check this out. What's this? This will freak out your theology. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Woo! How many of us like suffering? No, man. Huh? Well, often we used to say that about marriage, you know, before I was married. We used to say there's three rings in marriage. The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and then the suffering. Hallelujah. But then I got married and I realized that wasn't true. He said, self-help is no help at all. Doesn't that go against the way that the world is right now? Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, of finding yourself, your true self. Some of you know you don't really know who you are until you don't get what you want. Right? You can put up a big projection of being who you are, and you can speak all the right words until you hit your thumb with a hammer. And then what really is inside you is going to come out. And very rarely does someone hit their hammer and go, oh, praise Jesus for that. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? Don't be in such a hurry to go into business for yourself. Before you know it, the Son of Man will arrive. And that's not talking about going into business for yourself and being your own boss. That means doing things without him. Before you know it, the Son of Man will arrive with all the splendor of his Father, accompanied by an army of angels, and you'll get everything you have coming to you. It's heavy, huh? But what has all that got to do with dreaming? Because I really believe that we all need a dream to follow in our lives. And I think that some people have stopped dreaming. I think some of you have stopped dreaming. You've just settled for it is what it is. But how many of you know it don't have to be it is what it is? It needs to be, it is what God says it is. Not what it looks like the reality of it is, because God might have a different reality for you. And what you've got to do is you've got to start to dream, and God is the dream shaper. And what this scripture's telling us is that if we follow him in the way that he wants us to, we will experience the richness of fulfillment in this life and the rewards of faithfulness in this life and beyond. So we need to dream a bit today. You ready to dream a little bit today? See, having a dream is valuable, man. We need to have a dream. You need to have a goal. You need to have a vision. You need to see what your life could be like. And it's not always what your past tells you it should be. Some of you need to grow up from how you grew up. Some of you need to put your history aside and start to embrace your destiny and start to look at what does God want me to do. You know, you see people that are doing great things for God. Nobody that does anything for God has been through nothing. They've all got history. They've all got pasts. But they didn't let their history stop them from fulfilling their destiny. They let God shape them. And they did that by getting out of the driver's seat. Someone told me once, you know, you've got to get out of the driver's seat of your life. So I went and got in the passenger seat. He said, no, get out of the passenger seat, man, because you can still influence things. So I went and got in the back seat. He said, have you ever heard of back seat drivers? He said, get out of the back seat. I said, well, where do I go then? He said, go and get in the trunk. And then I said, I won't know where I'm going. He said, no, but do you trust the driver? God might have given you a big dream. And then you looked at yourself and you looked at your circumstances and you looked at your subjective reality and said, that's impossible for me. And it's true, but the Bible says that what is impossible for man is possible for God. If God says that he wants you to do something, if he shows you something that he wants you to be involved in, then God is going to equip you. He's going to give you everything that you need. Oh, I haven't got enough to fulfill that. Yeah, no, man. The provision is always in the vision. God's always going to give you enough to fulfill what he tells you he wants you to do. Otherwise, what sort of God is he? It's valuable, man, having a dream. But if you want to see your dream become a reality, sometimes we have dreams. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have dreams when I'm asleep. And I'm not one of those people that have these massive prophetic dreams. Some people get up, they remember their dreams, they tell you their dreams. I'm open to that. I have people come to me, Pastor, I had a dream about you. I'm like, really? But I trust them enough now to know that there's nothing weird or funky in it. You know what I mean? It's normally something that I'm fighting a devil, or, you know what I mean? I'm being stabbed by loads of knives, or I'm in a fire and I've got my lips are just above the water or something. And then they tell me, but it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And I'm like, thank goodness for that. Me, if I have a dream, it's always something random, you know what I mean? But then you wake up. And that's the thing with some people's life dreams is sometimes they're just consigned to just when they're relaxing, when they're sleeping. But when you actually get up and have to put it into practice and put it into action, it don't ever reach out from your subconscious or in your spirit realm or your prayer closet into reality. But if you want your dream to become a reality, you've got to make some decisions. Firstly, about how much is it worth to you? And secondly, is it worth anything to God? Some people think wrongly, man, that you can't fulfill your dream and be a valuable part of the church at the same time. And so what they do is then they leave the church, they don't get involved, they don't want to sing no more, don't want to worship no more, don't want to lead no more, don't want to be in the kids no more, don't want to usher no more, don't want to do all that stuff, production no more, because they've got this dream and they think that, you know, they can't fulfill their dream in the church. So they leave, they go away from the church and they fulfill their dream and they follow their dream and then they leave all their church stuff behind. But that's just a very, very small mentality. That's a very tiny mentality. That's an either-or mentality. That's a transactional mentality. It's not a transformational mentality. See, a transactional thing will say, I'll give you that if I get this. It's contractual. But in a covenant, you just give. And you give, and you give, and you give. You can fulfill your dream and still be part of the church. I know top worship leaders that still serve in church. I know top pastors that have got a side hustle or a business or another project. Are you with me? And people say, well, I haven't got the time. Of course you've got the time. You make the time. Huh? I've written books. I've got a master's degree while being a senior pastor of a very, very active church. You can fulfill your dreams and still be a part of what it is that God wants you to be a part of. Because how big is your God? How big is your faith? If you serve a big God, you could do all of it. But when you step out, you've got to step out into the realm of having a big God. Because how big your God is determines actually how big your faith is. And how big your faith is determines how big your dream is going to be and whether or not it's going to become a reality or not. Are you with me right now? And when you do step out, man, there's going to be challenges. Distractions are going to come to try and get you to take a new direction. And the constant question you'll be asking yourself is, how much am I willing to pay for my dream? There's a great book by a guy called Bruce Wilkinson called The Dream Giver. And it begins like this. Not long ago and not far away, a nobody called Ordinary lived in the land of familiar. And the book is about how to identify and overcome the obstacles that keep millions of people away from living the life that they were created to live. On the journey, Ordinary, this man Ordinary, had lots of decisions to make as he made his way closer to his big dream. He made hard choices, he made difficult changes, and he even made big sacrifices. He saw how pursuing his dream could cause him a lot of discomfort and that he would have to do unusual things in unusual places. He realized that to do what he most loved, he'd have to do what he most dreaded. I mean, if you know, you want to get a breakthrough over fear, you got to consciously face it. No other way around it. Then he saw it clearly. He could either keep his comfort and stay a nobody, or he could keep his dream and become a somebody. So Ordinary left the comfort zone and he went through the wasteland following faith. He found just enough to drink and just enough to eat. He found fruit that wasn't sweet and wasn't sour, but it was satisfying. Then when he was just about to enter the promised land, the dream giver asked him to give him his dream. Check that out. Has that ever happened to anyone in this place? You're just about to get your breakthrough and God says, give that to me. After much agonizing thought, Ordinary told the dream giver, I am surrendering my dream to you, dream giver. I've decided that I can go on without my dream, but I can't go on without you. The dream giver, who obviously represents God in this story, says this to Ordinary. He says, Ordinary, I receive your dream. I'm giving it back to you now. Now you can use it to serve me instead of just serving yourself. Now you can achieve truly great things and I will be with you always. Then when Ordinary looked at his surrendered dream, he saw that it had actually grown. Now his dream was no longer about Ordinary. Now it was part of the dream giver's big dream for the whole world. Isn't that a powerful story? And it speaks so much into what God wants us to understand and do about him and about what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live. And there's two questions that we need to ask. Firstly, what is my dream worth to me? And secondly, what value does my dream add to the world that I live in? In order to quantify the value of something, it helps to ask the question, what am I prepared to give up in order to see it come to pass? Right? You want to know how valuable it is? What are you willing to sacrifice to see it come about? Sometimes we don't want to sacrifice our Sunday mornings to live as Christians. Sometimes we don't want to sacrifice our extracurricular time to be part of God's move. Sometimes we don't want to sacrifice a little bit of time to go down the gym. We want a beach body, but we don't want to put the work in. Hello? I mean, if you know, there ain't no shortcuts to the six-pack. Right? You want to get back into that dress? Some people said yes to the dress, and the dress went, nope. You got to put something into it. You got to put some work, or rather put less into it. Hallelujah. But you got to put some work in. What are you prepared to give up to get what it is that you want to get? Huh? Our homes, people got to give up 12 months of their life to get their addiction broken so that they can have 20, 30, 40, 50 years left of their life drug free. And it's not about a sacrifice, it's about an investment. We got to get the concepts right. We got to get the concepts right. We just had this big regional thing that we did, right? And man, it was like pulling teeth trying to get people involved in this thing. Because we're all comfortable after COVID. We're in our little boxes, you know what I mean? All our spiritual muscles are all flabby. Right? And I said, no, we've got to do this thing, man. We've got to bring everyone together. Everyone's like, oh, no, it's just another event. It's just a box I've got to tick. Oh, no, I've got to endure this. That's a wrong mentality. These things are not events. They're environments. They're environments that God wants to create so that we can have encounters with Him. But it's about mentality. Well, I've got a sacrifice. Anything you give to God is not a sacrifice. How can it be? He's already paid the sacrifice. He's made the sacrifice. He's paid for your meal. At best, all you got to do is leave a tip. Huh? What am I prepared to give up in order to see my dream come to pass? Because no dream is ever going to become a reality without some form of investment. To be an athlete or a top-level sportsman, you have to sacrifice many of the things that your friends are doing. I know some footballers that are professionals, and when all their friends was out partying, they was getting their sleep at night. When all their friends were out eating burgers and stuffing themselves with fried chicken and, you know, all that stuff, they were eating salads and pasta, proper nutrition. They were working out. They were doing their thing. They were going, are you with me? That's why they became what they became. Their other mates are kicking a ball about over the, you know, over the wasteland for nothing. While these dudes sacrificed, invested a little bit so that they could be playing on these beautiful pitches in these beautiful stadiums. In business, if you want to go into business for yourself, you've got to sacrifice your wage, possibly. You know, that regular wage that comes in at the end of the week or the end of the month. You have to sacrifice that, the comfort of that. You might have to sacrifice some health benefits. You might have to sacrifice. And you think it's a sacrifice. And if you think it's a sacrifice, it's going to be really painful to do it. But when you consider it to be an investment, you're going to need a mentality shift. You might have to sacrifice that regular wage and a comfortable job to become the business owner that you want to be. Be your own boss. Everyone wants to be their own boss, right? Until you have to tell yourself to get up and come to work. How come you ain't going to work today? Because I'm the boss. Huh? In music, you have to practice and practice and practice again. You know, some people are born very musical. If you slap them, they go, dong. Academics have concluded that it takes 10,000 hours of engagement in something before you become an expert. The 10,000-hour rule, right? That's a long time. That takes years. Years and years. You know, I was 20 years as a minister, and then all of a sudden I woke up one day and started to feel like I knew what I was doing a little bit. Before that, I didn't know what I was doing. Does that shock you? Huh? Everyone's like, man, I've been coming to this church for ages. I thought he knew what he was doing. No one's an expert until they've put in all the time and put in all the effort. And that's why you see that your most fruitful, profitable years are generally between the ages of 60 and 70. Huh? I'm telling you, man. I haven't even reached my dream yet. Sometimes I look at myself and I think, man, you're getting older. There's grey in your beard. There's a bit of snow on the roof. Are you with me? There's a little bit more padding than there used to be when you were younger. You know, there's a little bit more aching, and it takes you longer to get up and get out of bed than it used to when you was 20 years old. And you start to think that maybe my time is over. Maybe I'll get out the slippers. Maybe I'll just sit there in my little armchair and just watch soaps and, you know, how many of you ever felt like that sometimes? You're like, I'm getting old, man. There's nothing left for me. I want to let you know, man, I am not there yet. I've got another 6 years before I'm even being fruitful. I don't know about you, but I am coming up to my best years. You have to look at it like that. It all comes good in the end, people say. And you're like, well, it ain't come good yet. Well, then it's not the end yet. There's still time to dream. There's still time to hope. There's still time to look. There's still time to act. There's still time to invest. How many of you wish you'd invested in Bitcoin when it was a dollar a pop? I don't know what's happening in cryptocurrency right now. It might go back to a dollar a pop soon. I don't know. Crashing everywhere. But some people became millionaires and billionaires. Because in a year from now, you wish you'd have started today. You've got a dream. You've got to invest. So many dreams stay unrealized because the dreamer didn't value them enough to invest or sacrifice whatever it took to see them become real. And then on the other hand, some people put their dream before their loyalty to Jesus and then wonder why it all goes south. It all falls out of bed. It all goes wrong. They start off in Christ and then, like the foolish Galatians, they walk away and they start getting back in the flesh. How comes what started in the spirit, you try to end it in the flesh? Some people are willing to give up their faith. They're willing to give up their spirituality. They're willing to give up their churches. They're willing to give up their lives of Christianity in order to fulfill their worldly dream. And the thing is, the devil will take you right in, straight away. You want to leave Jesus and follow your worldly dream? The devil will say, come here, man, and he's going to bless you. Straight away, you see it. No, I'm not going to do God's thing anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. All of a sudden, they're blessed. And you're like, wow, you know, maybe what I'm doing for God, maybe, you know, I'm wasting my life. I'm wasting my time. What you don't see is that the devil lets them in, gives them a little blessing. And then later on, he's it's like they've took the bait and he's just rolling in the reel until he gets them in his net. Because you can pay now and play later, or you can play now and pay later, but you're going to have to pay. And then later on, you see them all messed up, all, you know what I mean? Miserable, hopeless. No point compromising your soul to pursue something that's only going to benefit you for a short while in life. And that's what Jesus was really saying in our original scriptures. It's really important that in all our dreaming, we keep the main thing, the big dream. Huh? Question of value is key. When you get this right, you'll have the right perspective. You'll see what's important to see. You'll do what's important to do. You can sacrifice the wrong thing for the wrong dream, and then it can end up as a nightmare. Or you can understand that the sacrifices or the investments that you made for your God-given dream are actually things that you're going to see the reward from later on. So my question to you today is, are you willing to invest the right things to see the right dream come to pass in the right way? If you are, then the chances are you're on the right track. And there's good news up ahead. There's something up ahead. You're gonna come out of home and you're gonna be blessed. You're gonna invest in that workplace and you're gonna be blessed. You're gonna work for that solution, and solutions always lead to promotions, right? Because you're doing it right. You're gonna have that business and it's gonna be a blessing. We've had people open businesses in this church that end up employing like 10 or 11 people from our homes. Amazing, giving them a start in life. But then we have the second question. What value does my dream add to the world I live in? In every sphere, you've got two things that you can look at, invention or innovation. I don't know about you, but invention is coming up with something new. There's nothing new under the sun, right? What can you invent now? A flying car? There's flying cars. You know, what are you going to invent next? And people could drive themselves mad trying to invent the next paperclip in a world that don't use paper no more, right? Or you can innovate. Innovation is taking something that's already in existence and improving it. And I don't know about you, but God wants us to be innovators. He wants us to look at something and take something and start to innovate it and start to look at it and start to improve it, you know. Improved Kentucky Fried Chicken. You go to America, they got Chick-fil-A. Huh? Closed on Sunday. They got Raising Cane's, they got Popeyes, they got all sorts of stuff. Over here, we got KFC, PFC, DPC, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. Dappy Fried Chicken, you know what I mean? Nutty Fried Chicken. And the C, they don't even put chicken anymore because you don't even know if it is really chicken. So that they don't get done for false advertising, because it could be any type of bird. You don't know. I've seen some weird looking things coming out of them places. But you can innovate. How many of you know we need better African food in Manchester? Huh? We need to open this place up. We need someone 1 week to come and do some African food so that people can eat from our coffee area. We need someone to come and do some West Indian food so we can, you know, some people got some dishes to go with good dumpling and thing, you know what I mean? Right? We need West African food and South African food and East African food. What about some Polish food, some sausage, and, you know, what about some English food over there? Everyone's like, nah. Why? Manchester needs a pie and mash shop, a good East End pie and mash shop, man. If anyone opens a pie and mash shop in Manchester, they will get rich overnight. I will partner with you to open a good pie and mash shop. Sawdust on the floor. Innovate. 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 Dream. What is your dream? Too many people see problems. But God wants to open your eyes to see solutions. People see problems in the church. Well, the sound don't sound too good. Well, get on the sound then. Well, you know, I'd love a saxophone. How come they ain't got a saxophone in the worship? Because you ain't got your lips around that saxophone standing up here blowing it. Well, the kids gang. Do you volunteer for the kids gang? You're investing in the future. You're investing in eternal beings that one day are going to rise up and take the world for Jesus Christ. Or are you just looking at it like a little babysitting service? I don't look at our kids like a little babysitting service. I look at them like one day they're going to rise up and they're going to pastor you. One day they're going to be the athletes of the future. But you've got a dream so that they can release their dreams. Too many people, man, are seeing problems when God's saying, open your eyes. I want to give you solutions. I am the dream shaper. I am the dream giver. Give me your dream. Sacrifice. Invest. Trust me. And I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to take out some of the stuff that's going to waste your time. I'm going to make sure that you got the right motive and the right perspective. And when you have, I'm going to give it back to you. But it's going to be bigger than you ever thought. It's going to be more powerful than you ever thought. It's going to be more effective than you ever thought. It's going to make more of a difference than you ever thought. And in value is important. Every sphere, when you look at innovation or destiny dreams, it's important to understand that the best ones add value. Add value. If you're going to be part of a team, add value. Are you with me? If you're going to get involved in something, don't just be there pointing out all the problems. My goodness, I could get someone off the street to do that. Huh? Some miserable old thing. We don't need more miserable people in our teams. We need more people that are looking at it going, how can I add value? What skills can I bring? What can I bring to the table? Otherwise, you're like the person that goes out to a bring and share meal with just your belly. The only thing you bring and share is a hungry belly. Hello. Adding value is the real contribution your dream makes to the success of your idea. Ultimately, from a Christian point of view, it's about the effectiveness of our Christian witness and influence. You can have the biggest business in the world, but if no one really is getting any kind of inkling that Jesus is Lord, what's it worth? And I'm not talking about you have to be preaching the gospel all the time. But people at least have to know you're a Christian. They at least have to know you belong to a church. They at least have to know that you're planted in the house of the Lord, and that's why you're flourishing. They at least have to know that if because they're looking at you, if you've got influence, and they're going, what do I need to do to get like where she is or get where he is? And they think that you're just compromising and treading on people and, you know, running a rat race and, you know, living with the sharks and all that. They need to know that you belong to Jesus. They need to know that you live a life of faith. They need to know that you tithe. They need to know that you pray. They need to know that you are a witness to Christ and you're unashamed of the gospel. Your dream might increase the quality of life of someone, might provide a solution to a long-standing problem. That's what we want. It's an unavoidable fact that the best, most powerful dream that you can have, if it's truly from God, is going to be big and scary. If it's not big and scary, then it might not be from God. It might just be from that pizza you had last night. Pizza dream, you know what I mean? You wake up all messed up thinking that you're going to go and take the world. I'm going to create a better pizza with more pineapple on it. So what are you dreaming about, man? What's your dream? Who's going to start a Christian football club for the young people? Who's gonna start up a music studio for people to come and put down their tracks and put down their rhymes, and you know what I mean? So the young people can come in, and instead of worrying about whether it's Jordan 4s or Jordan 1s or having Rolexes got more than one or an AP that's worth 31 with the millimeters 41, and you know, instead of wondering, you know, whether you're wearing this or wearing that and what they think out on the streets, they're actually coming in, and all the pain that they feel and all of the misery that they've been through and all the experiences that they've had, they can point it in a direction that is creative, and they can start putting down some tracks, putting down some rhymes. They can start making some spoken word videos. We had a spoken word video in our conference. It was amazing. Amazing. Creative. That drama was amazing. Some of the books that people write are amazing. We got Tanya writing books left, right, and center. We got Fiona writing books left, right, and center. Vicky's writing two books right now. I've got another book coming out. Who wants to do something big for God? We want some real soul food, hallelujah. You got a dream. It's time to dream. It's time to dream again. This church needs to be bigger than it is. We need to be reaching more people than we need to. In fact, you know, coming up after the summer, we're going two services again. I'm just letting you know. You know what I mean? I haven't spoke about it to anyone yet, but I'm just saying that's... It's actually on the cards, man. Sorry, guys. Time to dream big. Because I'll tell you why. Because if you're thinking, oh, no, I have to do more, then your dream is about that big. What you need to be dreaming is, how can we get more worshippers in? How can we get more ushers on the team? How can we get more kids workers there? How can we get more people doing production? How can we get more people that are going to open the building? How can we get more people to volunteer to go out on the car park? How can we grow? Because if you're thinking that's just more work for me, then your dream is about the size of a pea. Time to dream big. And when your dream is connected to, invested in, handed over to God, it will never become a nightmare. Come and stand to your feet with me. Just lift up your hands. It's time to dream some God dreams. It's time to let God shape your future again. It's time to bring some stuff before God. And if you're like, I haven't got no dreams, Lord, then you need to ask God to give you a dream. Give me vision, Lord. Let me see things as you see them. You know what's going to happen if you do that? You're going to start to see some problems. Everyone wants to be given a dream and see the solution straight away, but how can you have a solution for a problem you don't know about? Something I've learned as a pastor is I pray, God, give me vision, and he shows me problems. God, at church, I believe it's going to be big and healthy, and everyone's going to be involved and happy, and it's going to have enough money because everyone's going to be generous and give and all that. And you know what God does? He says, all right, you want that? Cool. Here's the lack of finances we got right now. These are the people that ain't turning up. This is the stuff that there's the problem. These are the gaps. This is the lack. And first of all, when he used to do that, I'd be like, oh God, this is woe is me. But then he started to train me and he started to tell me, listen, I want to give you solutions to real problems. Right? But if you don't see the problems, if you can't even have the courage or the intelligence to be able to face the problems, then how can I give you any solutions? You won't value it. It won't mean anything. It won't make a difference. Because sometimes we want solutions to problems that don't exist. Because that's easy. It's easy to be the fireman when there's no fire. Sliding down the pole, whee! Riding in the you know, fire engine, nee, 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 wearing a uniform. It's easy when there's no fire, but what's the point in having a fire brigade with no fires? People don't join the fire brigade just to wear a shiny hat and slide down a pole. So don't try and get in ministry if you think that it's going to take you away from people with problems, people that are mangled, messed up, negative. Ministry is all about people. It ain't about permission, it ain't about position, it ain't about performance. It's about people. And if you say, God, here I am, I don't care if you've got a degree. I don't care if you know all your ologies. I don't care if you ain't got the skill. We don't put people in place because of their skill. We put people in place because of their attitude, because of their availability. Then God upskills you. God gives you the ability. God equips the called. So we're looking right now for people that are dreaming big. Because I've got a dream that this church is going to make a difference in this city, in this nation. I've got a dream that, you know, we've planted churches out of this church. We've sent resources. We've sent our best people out. And we saw them all come in this weekend. And I was looking around thinking, man, look at all these people. Look at all these men and women in the homes. When we had our home service Friday morning, there was all these people. This place was packed with people that have all come off drugs. And you know what? You know what? I was there, I was thinking, and all of a sudden God said, if you hadn't dreamed this in the beginning, when there was no one in the church, when these churches hadn't even gone out, these people wouldn't be here. When Pastor Roy got up and preached, if I hadn't dreamed that we could have a church in Liverpool, and planted it there and sent our people and sent our money, he wouldn't have been preaching there with all of his people standing in this place. The same with Birmingham, the same with Glasgow, same with Frankfurt, same in London. We've done that from this church. Check it out. This is you guys. This is where your money goes when you give. It goes into investing people. If you're not a tither, start tithing today. If you don't give anything, you're not going to receive anything. Oh, it'll be around you, but it won't be yours because you've got no investment in it. Whereas you don't even have to go, but if you've given, then you've gone there by default. That's part of you. That's on your account in heaven. You're going to see all them people. God's going to go, listen, these are all the people that your life touched. You're like, I don't even know them people. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't an evangelist. No, no, no. You were a giver. When we saw them young people on Saturday, every person up here was a gang. Pastor Anthony weren't doing it, and it was gang people that were leading. Josh, look at Josh, man. Huh? You know he's an athlete. You know he's really quick. He's very, very fast. I've tried to catch him a few times. He's just super quick, man. Huh? All the gang was here doing worship, doing us. The gang, the young people, the God's anointed now generation, our youth were doing it. It's amazing. Amazing. But it all come from a dream. Victory Outreach came about by a dream that God gave to an ex-drug addict from New York called Sonny Argenzoni to reach out to the broken people of the world. 1967, check that out. An old ex-junkie man from New York started a church for people that were messed up and broken. And everyone, no one thought it could ever come to pass. No one said that it was going to happen. It's never happened before like that. Now we're in almost 40 countries around the world. We have thousands of people. We're in different cities, different nations. We're here because a dream was invested in. Would you lift up your hands and just say to God, God, help me dream again. Give me a dream for today and tomorrow. Some of you need to get your dreams resurrected. Some of you need your dreams to rise back up again. Some of you wanted to get involved once and you didn't. Something got in the way. That pandemic got in the way, maybe. Coronavirus got in the way. Now monkeypox is trying to get in the way. Don't let anything get in the way of your dream. God don't need you, but we do. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. Lord Jesus, see every heart. Hear the cry of every heart. Look into every mind. Help us right now to understand a little bit more that you don't want us to be ordinary. Living like a nobody in the land of familiar. But that you want us to be a somebody outside of the comfort zone, living in the land of promise. Spirit of God, would you touch us right now? We're just going to sing one song of worship while you just praise God and you just start to sing and worship and let God touch your heart and open your mind and remind you of who He is. And then we're going to just conclude the service with our announcements, our giving and stuff like that. So come on, let's just worship the Lord a little bit.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website vomanchester.org.uk for more information.